to the Spiritually Armored Podcast. I am Todd Morrison, and this is the bonus content of the show. How many of you grow weary? Weary, possibly, caused by the day-to-day busyness that we find ourselves in, whether it is school, our jobs, raising children, or just have so much on our plate that we just can't seem to relax. We start to grow weary and tired. Did you know that this has happened since the beginning of time? There are many examples in the Bible about those who were weary and felt they could not keep going. Today, I would like to share with you one such example and look at three points that can help us keep going. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. That's Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah is writing to the children of Israel in the midst of two major crises: the war with Syria in 734 BC, and the Assyrian threats from 734 to 701 BC. So if you have your Bibles opened to Isaiah chapter 40, let's begin to read together, starting in verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might increases strength. He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. As I mentioned before, I'd like to make three points. First, the problem. The problem was weariness of heart. You see, Isaiah wrote the words of his prophecy to those who were captives in Babylon. The captivity had been especially hard on them. They were weary and at the point of fainting. Notice that Isaiah spoke of the faint and of them that have no might. That was in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. They were beginning to think that their way was hidden from the Lord. Look at Isaiah chapter 40 and in verse 27, where it reads, Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? They were starting to believe that their way was hidden from the Lord. In Psalm 137, the psalmist records that they had lost their song. In that account, in Psalm chapter 137, beginning in verse 1 and following, it says, By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Although we may not be captives in the sense that those who received Isaiah's inspired words were, we at times will feel as if we are. As you know, this world can be rather inhospitable. It will at times treat us like it treated our Lord. It will hate us like it hated Him, because we also are not of this world. John 17, verses 14 and verse 16. Sometimes the company of swine will be preferred over us. Luke chapter 8 and verse 37. Like Elijah, there will be times when we will run for our lives and collapse beneath a juniper tree. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 8. Being weary and fainting did not cease with God's people in Babylon. It remains today with God's people in America. Two times in the epistles that he penned, Paul pleaded with brethren not to grow weary or faint. In Galatians 6 and verse 9, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." The word translated as weary means to be utterly spiritless, to be wearied out or exhausted. The second point I would like to make is we now know the problem, the weariness of heart, but here we can see the prescription. The prescription is waiting on God. In verse 31 of our text in Isaiah chapter 40, "But they that wait upon the Lord." Wait means to look for, to hope for. The psalmist wrote, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee." Psalms chapter 39 and verse 7. God has promised that after 70 years of captivity, that they would return. They needed to look for that fulfillment. The root meaning of wait refers to that of twisting or winding a strand or cord or rope. I'm reminded of the words of the Hebrew writer concerning hope, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Renew describes the changing of garments or clothes. With God's help, Isaiah's people were going to put off the garments of captivity and put on the garments of a conqueror. Notice that we must wait upon the Lord. In verse 31, "We serve a God who fainteth not, neither is weary." Verse 28, "Furthermore, we serve a God who giveth power to the faint and strength to them that have no might." Verse 29, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, verse 13 and verse 16. So we see the problem, the weariness of heart, and we see the prescription, waiting on God. And the third point is the power. Wings as eagles. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The order of this passage is interesting. Notice with me, flying, running, walking. Perhaps Homer Haley, in his commentary on Isaiah, offers the best explanation for this order. Please consider the following quote. From Homer Haley, "In faraway Babylon, there will come a time that the news of Cyrus decree that the Jews may return home. At this news, those who have waited upon Jehovah shall soar to heights of joy as they anticipate returning to their homeland. A rush of preparation for the journey will follow, but before they arrive home, there will be a long trek from Babylon to Jerusalem. And so shall it ever be. The joyous enthusiasm and hope we experience with conversion, soaring on high as with wings of an eagle, are followed by eager preparation, learning, and building a foundation of faith, and running without growing weary. But before the heavenly home is reached, there is yet the long journey of trials and testings, a walk on which the sojourner of faith shall not faint. In the wearisome and monotonous everyday walk of life, faith at times may become dull and hope dim. In such hours, look up and grasp anew the vision of God and heaven." You see, when we trust in God, we can fly higher, run longer, and walk further than we ever could without Him. The Apostle Paul knew of the power of God that God gives to those who trust in Him, and often wrote of it. The book of Ephesians especially mentions it. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power?" In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, it reads, "That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul writes, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." And then in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." There was a song many years back by Mary Chapin Carpenter. The song was entitled, "Why Walk When You Can Fly?" The lyrics are this: "In this world, there's a whole lot of trouble. In this world, there's a whole lot of pain. In this world, there's a whole lot of trouble, but a whole lot of ground to gain. Why take when you can be giving? Why watch as the world goes by? It's a hard enough life to be living. Why walk when you can fly? In this world, there's a whole lot of sorrow. In this world, there's a whole lot of shame. In this world, there's a whole lot of sorrow and a whole lot of ground to gain. When you spend your whole life wishing, wanting, and wondering why, it's a long enough life to be living. Why walk when you can fly? In this world, there's a whole lot of cold. In this world, there's a whole lot of blame. In this world, you've a soul for a compass and a heart for a pair of wings. There's a star on the far horizon, rising bright in an azure sky. For the rest of the time that you're given, why walk when you can fly? In our reading, we saw the problem of the weariness of heart. We looked at the prescription, waiting on God, and the power, wings as eagles. Perhaps you are weary and at the point of fainting. I want you to know that your strength can be renewed if you will put your trust in the Lord by doing what He commands you to do. If you have any questions about this podcast or any other topic, please email us at armoredspiritually@gmail.com. That's armoredspiritually@gmail.com.